Okay, and a very good evening to everyone out there. The show is Hacker Mind, so let's just get it started. Okay, and because nothing ever works, that's all we're going to have of that. But the show is HackerMind. This is your host, Screamer Chaotix, and once again we are dealing with the unexpected. Actually, no, I expected this completely. I mean, why would the microphone start working? No, I'm here and I'm still using this crappy microphone. We're going to have to deal with it another night. But hopefully we'll get through it. Hopefully. Nobody gives me any crap. Because if they do, oh, just watch out, because it's going to hit the fan. But I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get Dash on the line. And let's see what he has to say about everything. Everything wrong with the world. And if you heard those touch tones, feel free to call him. Hello, Dash.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, I was listening to the stream.
Okay, here comes the complaint that I can't fix.
Yeah, but I gotta let you know. I was listening to the stream before you called me, and I just want to let you know that your microphone...
Yeah.
It has a little problem where if you say pronounce a T or an S or a P or something, it makes that, you know, that noise.
What noise?
You know, it just makes a weird noise whenever you do those letters. Yeah.
All right. Well, I can stop the show and hook up my old computer if you want.
No. I'm just letting you know we have another problem. You know, not like we don't have enough. But
all right. Well, here's the deal. Either I hook up my old computer every week, or we stop doing the show until I get a new microphone. Or you can host it.
Yeah.
One of those three. It's got to be.
One of those three. Well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to pick one for next week.
Because I can't keep doing it like this, you know. I mean, I have to yell. I have to, you know. I'm hoping people can hear you.
Yeah, I hope people can hear me too.
So I went into the Compaq support forum, and a guy helped me, but of course it didn't work. You know, I'm sure anyone out there who's ever had a computer problem knows. People try to help you. They try to do good for you, but. They have a million solutions, but not a single one of them actually solves your problem.
No, I'm going to have to stay on the phone with you later and try to help you out. So I think we can work this out.
Well, do you want to try that now, Dash? I'm ready to go. I mean, we have a few minutes to kill. What would you like me to try?
I don't know. Probably nothing you haven't tried already. But all right, what's the main problem?
Well, okay, here's the main problem. This crappy microphone that I have here, this one works.
Right, the one that you're talking into right now.
Yeah, but the one that's built into my monitor, that one doesn't work. Now, here's the thing. When I use my old computer, I mean, I haven't tried it recently, but I know it did just like a week ago. The microphone from the old monitor works with the old computer.
Right. Yeah.
But when I upgraded my my tower, all of a sudden this microphone doesn't work. So I tried everything. I went into to the microphone settings, you know, the volume settings, and apparently I have them correct because this microphone does work. The one that that I'm using now.
But what's the main problem? Just that the microphone is crappy, or what?
It doesn't work. It won't record anything. It doesn't pick up a damn thing.
I'm talking about the one you're talking into right now.
Oh, well, this one is just low. If I sit back here and talk normally, no one can hear me right now.
Is it low?
What's that?
Is it low?
Yeah, it's very low, and I've cranked up the volume, but you have to be like right up to it. And right now I'm right up to it, and I'm sure I sound loud.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
But when I move the microphone down to here between the both of us, between me and the phone, it's just it's extremely low, and
You probably have done this, but do you have a sound card, right? It's not on board, on your motherboard sound?
No, no sound card.
No sound card? It's on your motherboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sucks, but, okay.
Well, I don't want to give the whole show to this. I'm sure listeners want to hear more than just this, but,
yeah.
If you have any suggestions, Dash.
Well, did your old computer have a sound card, or was it on board?
On board.
On board, yeah, that's probably why it won't work with that one. I'm not thinking.
This microphone does, though, so I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking maybe if you had a separate sound card, it might work better, but I don't know, you know.
But that's not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee, no, but you know, always a possibility.
So I have to buy a $100 sound card.
Oh, you can get them pretty cheap, but I'm just saying if you want to do that, it's an option.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know of any good microphones?
No, because I just have this crappy $10 one I got from Walmart.
Yeah,
so.
everybody has crappy ones.
Everybody has that one. Everybody has the $10 one from Walmart.
But this one that was built into my monitor was perfect. Now, like I said, I could hook up my old computer and most likely it'll work, but, you know,
Is that a big hassle for you to do that every time?
No, it's easy to move wires, but I mean, do I really want to plug and unplug from my computer, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It wears down the connections, and that's not good. But, I don't know, let's...
What you do, my friend. Here's what you do.
What's that?
I've got all your problems right here.
Okay.
Get a new monitor.
Get a new monitor.
Then you have, you know, a new monitor and use it for that computer that you're using right now, and then just, you know, use your old computer for the Hackermind show, yeah.
Oh, so you're saying... Oh, okay, so basically have two computers, one for HackerMind.
Yeah, have a HackerMind computer, you know, all for HackerMind. Then you can have, you know, your new fancy 1.1 gigahertz one.
All right, you can go ahead and send me the $300 anytime you want.
I didn't say you had, well, yeah, you probably want a good one for that, but I don't have $300, sorry, bud.
All right, so let's move on here.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on in the world of technology. Well, you know, that XP vulnerability that everybody was talking about, apparently it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, according to this article I have here, Universal Plug and Play, and this is what the guy's telling us it is, Universal Plug and Play is the term used to collectively refer to a set of standards, protocols, and services used to support pervasive networking of intelligent devices and appliances in a peer-to-peer configuration, the kind of solution that will allow your web bar to take stock of needed items and automatically add them to your Palm Pilot shopping list. Now, he goes on to say that my issue is that so many people have rushed to be authorities on this bug that many didn't bother to get their facts straight before posting fixes and writing articles about it. The NIPC advisory gives people specific instructions on how to disable the UPnP device host on XP and has been widely linked to by many. Unfortunately, this does absolutely nothing. I both phoned and emailed NIPC to inform them that the UPnP service itself has nothing to do with this bug, and that the SSDP discovery service is the issue. But to date, they still have not updated the site. And in addition to misinformation, banner ad hungry media outlets like the LA Times are doing what they can to bring in the hits, headlining articles with FUD. Industry shorthand for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Like, XP patch leaves door wide open. That is not...
Or this article I have right here that says, Feds grill MS on Windows security.
Okay.
That's
good.
One of the ones that he's probably talking about. it talks about that universal plug-and-play bug.
Mm-hmm. And, this thing right here is basically saying that there's not even a vulnerability out there yet, and still people are going on and on, causing, you know, unneeded fear and panic.
Well, this article I have, it says, the bugs at issue are actually three flaws in the Windows Universal Plug-and-Play service. One of them can be exploited to gain system or OS-level access to any Windows machine using the service. Two others can be exploited for denial of service attacks, including the much-feared distributed variety.
Mm-hmm.
So there are bugs, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's bugs in everything, though.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, cross this off in the notebook.
Especially send mail.
Oh, you know send mail technique?
Yeah, I do. I know send mail technique.
Your technique very good?
Yes, it is.
But my style is the best.
No, it's not.
My style is the best.
No, not.
All right, but your kung fu is very good, though.
You know R disk technique?
I do. I do know R disk technique.
Very good.
I'm Reet.
Reet. Dude. Okay.
Okay. Let's move on here. Let's just get right into the fun stuff. Let me
advertise the Hackermind chat.
Okay, you know what? Let me give you the microphone to do that. Go ahead, it's all yours.
All right. If you want to join other people who are listening to Hackermind, or they're just sitting in chat not listening to Hackermind, it's irc.box.sk/Hackermind.
Do you have any more updates for us, Jess, while the microphone's sitting right by you that you wanted to tell people about?
Updates.
Yeah, dealing with magazines, publications, stuff of that nature.
Oh, you want me to mention that?
Not, you don't have to. Just say what you want. Say what you want.
You want me to mention a little? No, I don't want.
Well, I gotta find my cell phone, so you go ahead and mention whatever you want.
I don't want to mention that. No, that's okay.
Dash, time to keep talking.
No, I don't really have any updates. No, I can't think of any. So you might want to, you know, take over here.
Okay, well...
Where are you? You sound like really far away.
Well, I don't have my cell phone, so we can't do that tonight. That's a shame.
Oh, you don't... Where's your cell phone?
I have no idea.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, be very careful when you hit the phone. Let's see if we can get Dash back on the line. No, he's still sitting there thinking that. Don't say nothing happens on this show. What the? I just cut the dial tone out with my voice. That was cool. Alright, well, you don't need to hear what I'm dialing. See if that
works. Hello?
Hey, Dash.
You know, there's an easier way of telling me you don't want me on the show than just hanging up on me.
I hit the phone. I'm trying to find my cell phone here.
Someone who considers themselves to be a phone freak.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
Hang up on me a lot.
Well,
I'm beginning to think it's intentional.
I have an idea of where it is, but it would require you talking, and I know you don't want to do that.
I got an article or something here.
You do?
Yeah, I can talk about that.
Great, okay, do that. Be right back.
All right, well, hang on. Where are you going?
I'm going to get the phone.
Okay, go get it. I'll talk about this AOL Instant Messenger overflow exploit that's already been fixed, but okay. You gone? Okay, yeah, he's gone. Okay, let's see. Some people might already know this, but earlier this week, there was an article on theregister.co.uk that talks about a security group called, get this, Wulu, W00W00, claiming to... Well, not claiming, they did find an exploit in AOL Instant Messenger, and I use AOL Instant Messenger. So, you know, I thought this was rather interesting. Let's see what it says here about it. AOL Instant Messenger has a major security vulnerability in the latest stable and beta Windows versions. This vulnerability will allow remote penetration of the victim's system without any indication as to who performed the attack. There is no opportunity to refuse the request. This does not affect the non-Windows versions because the non-Windows versions currently do not yet support the feature that this vulnerability occurs in. So if you have GAIM for Linux, don't worry about it. This particular vulnerability results from an overflow in the code that parses a game request. The actual overflow appears to be in the parsing of TLV type 0x2711. This may be more generic and exploitable through other means, but AOL has not yet released enough information about their protocol for us to be able to determine that. Robbie Saunders' email yesterday should be enough of a hint which direction to look in. We recommend Robbie Saunders' AIM filter to protect yourself. A temporary solution is to go into your preferences and in the privacy section click allow only users on my buddy list under who can contact me. Now, this was a vulnerability a couple days ago, but if you went back to the register.co.uk today, then you'll notice an article that says AOL bungs buddy list security hole. Barely more than a day after an exploit concerning the Windows versions of AOL's Instant Messenger was circulated, AOL says it's managed to fix its network. Users are now safe and need not lift a finger with downloads or patches.
Oh, this is the server-side patch that they had?
The hole made it possible to exploit the way AIM processes game requests using a buffer overrun attack to take control of the victim's Windows box. It was discovered by security research group WooWoo, which developed a harmless working exploit, which in turn inspired AOL to take action immediately. So, if you read that article the other day, you had about 24 hours to be able to use it until AOL fixed it today.
Okay. Very good, Dash. You hosted the show for a little while all by yourself. Aren't you proud?
Yeah, I am.
All right, so now that I have my cell phone, what I want to try to do...
Did you find it?
Yeah.
All right, good. Where was it?
It was sitting over there. So what I want to try to do is...
It was sitting over there?
Yeah. It was on my bed.
Okay.
So, what I want to try to do is this. I want to test the features of caller ID pretty much. Now, you know, isn't it amazing how some people that know nothing about computers or phones or whatever, you can impress them so easily. You know what I'm saying?
Example.
Well, me and a friend are driving in my car, and he's telling me, ha-ha, now I have caller ID, and now I'll always know when it's you. So I pull over, dial *67 before his number, and it shows up as anonymous. And, of course, he gets pissed. He can't believe, oh, I'm such a lead hacker. How'd I do that? You know, he knows absolutely nothing about this stuff, so he's like, well, only you know how to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
No, actually, anybody with a phone book knows how to do that, but I'll let him think it's something amazing.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, but, all right, what I want to try is, I was going to use this with Dash's cell phone so we could see the results from his side, but... His cell phone turns out does not have caller ID.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to use mine for tonight. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna three-way over to a faxback service, and I might have to pick up the receiver when I enter in the numbers because, well, that's the last thing I want going out over the air.
Yeah.
All right. So first, this you can hear. I'm gonna three-way over to a faxback. Dash, be right back.
All right.
Welcome to Quick Specs, the automated fax system from GE Appliances. This service provides a quick reference to product dimensions and feature information for Monogram, Profile, GE, Hotpoint, and RCA appliances. Documents are ordered by entering the document number found on the list of available documents. If you'd like to receive a list of available documents by fax, press 1. List of available documents were last updated on November 30th, 2001. For Monogram appliances, press 1. You have selected a document list for Monogram appliances. To select additional document lists, press 1 or press pound to end your document list selection. Please enter your fax telephone number, including the area.
Okay, I'll do this one by myself. Okay, I entered the number. Now they're reading back my number. Almost done.
Number, press 1. To re-enter the telephone number, we would like to identify you on the cover page of your... The number you entered is... To accept this number, press 1. Thank you for using QuickSpecs. If you do not receive the information you requested, please call the GE Answer Center at 1-800-626-2000.
I don't think I'll do that, but now we have to wait for the fax to come to my cell phone.
Fax back.
Yeah, and let's see what number, if any, shows up on caller ID. Now, this is the 800 number that I just called was 800-432. Here we go.
There it is.
Now, you can hear it because the cell phone's messing up. Okay. Lovely, lovely feedback. I just love the radio waves that bleed into the lines.
Yeah, what does it say?
502-266-7023. Now, what do you think we're going to find if we call that? Anything?
I have no idea. What was the number again?
Okay, let me... Alright, well, if you want to know it, 502-266-7023.
That's rather close to my area code.
Yeah, but it could be across the United States.
I'm just saying, it's rather close.
Well, you know, there's only so many, Dash. There's only so many, so people are going to be they're going to be stalking you now.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the ones that don't have the number already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that time you messed up and... Yeah,
well, I covered the mic. It's just, that was a good mic! It picked up everything.
All right, so you want to call the number?
Yeah, sure, I'll give it a call. Hold on. Now, I'm assuming that this is the number that the 800 number translates into, but let's see what we get. If anything. Could be some number out in the middle of nowhere. That means absolutely nothing. It's ringing, but I don't hear anyone.
Me either.
Give it a couple more. Okay, so there's no answer at that number. So what is it?
What is it?
Where does it come from, and what's it doing on my phone?
I don't know.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah.
So here you are calling a fax back number, and it's an 800 number. It's 800-432-3729. And from there, you fax your home phone, your cell phone, whatever has caller ID, and it shows up as 502-266-7023.
That's interesting. We need to find out what that number is. Who owns that number? Well, probably know who owns it, but...
I would have to guess that it's a number at GE.
Yeah.
And that's just the dial-out number. I don't know. I didn't put up their network. It could be anything. But it's like when you used to get some weird ANI readback when you were on an analog cell phone and the ANI couldn't go back through the radio waves. It stopped at the switch.
No, let me go to anywho.com real quick.
Okay.
And try a reverse lookup.
Anywho.com.
Yeah, anywho.
Now, does that list people as well?
I don't know. I only go here sometimes.
Okay, anywho.com.
Yeah, anywho. Thanks to Wintermute for reminding me about that. He mentioned it in the chat, and I thought that was a good idea.
Thank you, Wintermute.
Okay. Yeah, I'd go faster if office, I have cable modem or broadband access, but I don't, so you have to bear with me here.
Oh, we're bearing.
I'm also recording the show, so that's making it go extra slow.
Yeah, you are the download, man.
Yeah, I came up with no listings were found.
No listings, huh?
Yeah.
So here we are with this number, 502-266-7023, and there's, we don't know who has it. Now, we could call a CNA, but, well, they're closed. You know, those are the numbers at the phone company that you can call, give them a number, and they'll give you who owns it. But they're closed at the moment, so we'll do some research. We'll find out what that is. Like I said, I'm assuming it's a number at GE because I was on the phone with Unreal a while back, and he was telling me how when he called out from his dorm room, he would get this weird ANI readback, and it would actually be the security office of his university, of his flight school.
Really?
Yeah, so the dial-out number was apparently from the security office.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, a lot of weird things can happen on the phone, but that's just a few of them.
All right, it looks like the area code is in Kentucky.
Kentucky, huh?
Yeah, Kentucky.
Can we find out where GE's corporate headquarters is?
Well, I could try.
Give it a shot.
What is it stand for? General
Electric.
Yeah.
The notebook knows, but he's not talking.
Well, he needs to start talking. I'm going to come over there and rip some pages out till he does.
Nah, he says no. He says no. Oh, you already mentioned the AOL users wide open to the attacker. They were, at least.
Yeah, they were. Not anymore. I think that's...
I'm getting something.
What's this?
See, you can always tell when a cell phone call is coming through because you hear the didn't.
Yeah, who is it?
That's the data coming through the airwaves. It gets picked up by the copper wires. Well, that would be the fax back. You can expect one more.
Oh, there's three of them.
Yeah, we'll hear it coming though. It'll go bip bip on the phone line. Always fun. So, have we found out where General Electric's corporate headquarters is?
Oh, I'm looking, but I can't find it. Hang on. This might be it.
Those bastards.
Corporate info.
Yeah.
That should be something good.
Do they have a number? Because if it's in 502...
Yeah, the page is loading, so...
Ah.
There it is. It's got to be here somewhere. Contact us. That might be it. You know, contact them. Got to call something.
They'll probably give you an 800 number, but who knows?
Well, I'm about to give up because it's just leading me round and round in circles.
Don't you just hate that? All right. Well, let me talk about something that.
Yeah. You might want to, talk.
Yeah. Well, we know you're not gonna.
Yeah, I'm looking for this. That's real nice. You hung up on me earlier, so I'm a little bitter about that.
Yeah, I hung up on you, sure. Okay, speaking of bitter, though, I'm a little bit bitter with my school? I guess you can call it that. Because I had a Vax account. Now, for anyone who's ever had a shell account, you kind of grow attached to them, you know? Once you get one, you hug it, you love it, you squeeze it. You know, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm, I know, that's how I feel.
Well, yeah. So, I had my Vax Shell account, and I love that account. I was able to Telnet out of it. I was able to FTP into it, FTP out of it. It was the greatest thing in the world. I can do anything I wanted. I could store files. It was great. But one day,
yeah,
quite recently, that account expired. Now, expired, from what I understand, is the nice way of saying was canceled. It was deleted. It was made no more. So, I was very bitter about that. Now, why would they do such a thing? Did I mass mail people? Why, no, don't be silly. They would never cancel an account for that.
Of course not.
No. Apparently... They think I was hacking. Yeah.
Well, have you talked to them?
No, not yet. I mean, who would you talk to?
I don't know. Go talk to that the system administrator.
I'm not talking to him.
You know, like.
No, I'm not talking to him.
Yeah, we know about your run-in with him before.
Yeah, well, it says to contact him, but I haven't yet because I really don't want to because I know, I just know. You see, the way their network is set up is that the VAX is available for any student that goes to the school. If you want an account, you can get one for free. But the Unix boxes, the ones that I really want to see, you know, the ones I love because I love Unix, are not available. They're only available to computer science majors. So I can't have a Unix account. But you see, not that I would ever do anything illegal, but I was just curious as to whether or not a person could get a Unix account should they want one. So I go into my VAX account because some things are only accessible from within the school's network. So once I'm in the VAX, apparently they think I can look around. So I'm looking around at all these nice Unixes. Some of them, Unixes, I should say. Some of them are named Vega. Some are named Hyperion. You know, it's a lot of cool names.
Yeah.
So I found Vega, and I got really cozy with Vega.
What did you do?
And, well, nothing. I didn't do anything. I was just, you know, looking around, seeing if it was possible for someone to get in. I mean, they have finger wide open, so you can see the names of everybody on the system, and you know that at least one of them still has their username as the default password, because it doesn't force you to change it.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just curious, you know, and I'm just looking around, just typing out commands, you know, storing stuff.
You don't know where it is or what it does or anything.
On my VAX, no, I know that, but I'm just, you know, just playing around, and of course, you know, on my VAX account, I do have a directory called Hacker, but that's only there to piss them off.
Yeah.
You know, I figure, you know what, if you're going to look at everything I do, I'm going to give you something to look at.
Anything in it?
No, nothing. Nothing. It wasn't anything in there. It was just called Hacker, and there was also one called SCSU Sucks.
Well, the administrator probably opened it up, you know, hoping to find something that he can use to cancel your account.
Right, and when he found nothing, he got pissed.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And then he saw SCSU Sucks, you know, which is a directory that I created after they pretty much canceled me for sending out a mailing to people. So I lost my account. Now, like I said, I don't have the official ruling yet, and I do want to add that it is quite weird because I actually fingered the VAX, and I didn't get a reply. Now, do they have my IP? Am I a marked man? Or...
possibly.
Is it just that everybody's expired?
Maybe.
That could be. You know, it's the holidays. Everybody's on vacation. Maybe this is just something they do.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. Dash, what kind of Windows are you running, 98?
I run Windows 98.
Oh. Then you don't have the finger command. Oh. I wanted to see if you could see if anyone was on the VAX.
Well, I could download something.
Well, you could, but we'll play around with that later, as we always do. And
it might be done before the show's over. I don't know. Actually, yeah, I do have a finger. Hang on. Yeah, what are you talking about, boy?
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, no.
And it's gone. That should be it.
All right, what is it?
That should be it. I am going to shut this off and make sure that's it. Okay, it finger at... southernct.edu.
Southernct.edu. Connecting. Yeah, connecting. 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 And, it's still connecting. Still connecting. In case you're wondering, it's still connecting.
It does show southernct.edu in brackets, alright?
It has it converted to an IP address, but yeah, it's there.
Okay.
Connecting to 149.152.40.2.
Oh, I wrote that down.
I'm sure you did. Okay, maybe it'll connect. I'll just let it keep doing its thing, but...
So you're not getting anything at all?
Not yet. It just says connecting.
See, that makes me wonder. That really makes me wonder. I tried that on all the machines.
Connection timed out.
Yeah, see, fingers open, but I can't seem to get anything anymore.
That's odd.
I don't know. Maybe they're doing something. They're redesigning the whole school, so maybe they're doing something to the computer network too. I don't know. But more craziness.
Hey, what port is a finger? I forgot.
79.
Oh, okay. It doesn't say it's open.
It doesn't.
Right.
Oh, did they wise up and close it?
They could have. I think they might have done that.
Hmm. Probably because of me. I must have scared them. Hey. All right, well, anyway, I lost my VAX account. I want it back, and I wish 2600 would hurry up and give me my shell account. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
And, of course, Dash, I'll let you in it.
That's right, you better.
And then I'll change the password. So, you know, now that I mention it about the Southern thing, tell me if you agree. Don't you feel scared to do anything online these days, Dash?
My port scan is done. It says port 79 timed out, so I don't know what that means.
No.
You know, I just got the same timed out thing. I thought it was done, but my port scan is now finished. It says timed out, so who knows?
Hmm.
What was your question?
Could be having problems, could be filtered, I don't know. Do you feel scared to do anything online? Like, if you look at the wrong thing, you're going to get arrested?
I do kind of feel like that, you know, ever since my port scan, my port scan thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You went searching for proxies, which is not a crime. No one has ever said it is. But, sure enough, they came down hard on you, didn't they?
They came down hard. Canceled my account without so much as a phone call.
Yeah, those cyberback bastards. As well as UCA.edu.
But yeah, I am kind of, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Kind of is, a little bit, yeah.
You know, because...
Of course, it's always been at least a little scary.
Yeah, but, you know, before, I still had this type of naivete. You know, I started thinking to myself, who's really going to care if I look at their ports? You know, who's going to care? There's like a million port scans a day on every computer out there. I mean, if I look at my firewall logs, I get tons of them.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, because there's got to be a lot of port scans on these hosts.
Yeah.
They call up everybody's ISP and then port scans them.
You know, I think, and this is just me personally, I mean, we should ask Unreal. He was the system administrator. I think they find somebody who's making the most noise, and I know that a proxy hunter would make a lot of noise, and so they, you know, they get pissed, and they say, well, you know what, I'm going to teach this kid a lesson, and they know they can. So they call up your ISP, and your ISP cancels you.
Yeah.
Which is why I never do that. If I see somebody constantly scanning me for sub-7 and I don't have it, I'm not going to call up his ISP. I'll deal with it personally.
Now, I wonder about something. Let's say the situation was reversed,
mm-hmm.
and somebody from UCA was on their network and was port scanning me or trying to, or, you know, proxy hunting on my computer.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I called UCA up and said, you know, complained about him, would they cancel his account?
Would they cancel that person's account?
Yeah, without so much as any, you know...
Well, it wasn't, just to clarify, it wasn't UCA that got your account canceled. I mean, they certainly had a hand in it, but it was...
Yeah, but UCA, they're controlling their own network, so, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
You got the middleman there.
Yeah, so they were the ones that came after you, and they did so by going to your ISP. So you're asking, would that one person be canceled? Well, you see, the thing is that they have so many people using those machines that you can never tell who's really using it. Now, granted, it could have been someone else on your machine.
Yeah.
But they don't see it that way.
Yeah, they don't see it that way at all.
So they're just going to tell you, well, that IP address originated in our library. Anybody can go on those. It's just something you have to deal with. They're not going to cancel their whole account, you know?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. No, so they're going to go after you, but that does bring up all sorts of interesting questions, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dash, you know what I say?
What do you say?
I say, I'm not guaranteeing we're going to do this on the air, but I say you and me get in touch with UCA and tell them that someone was port scanning us from there. It shouldn't be hard to grab an IP address and just see... For the purposes of information, to find out what would happen, to see what they would do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe I should do that.
If we made a complaint, you know, and we can just find out one IP address, you know, some obscure box on their network, and because I know you have the logs for them, you know, you scan the hell out of them, so you know what their network is. Just say, so-and-so keeps on scanning me, you know, see what they say.
Yeah.
And if they say to you that a port scan is nothing, you know, well, tell them, hey, how come you got me canceled for it? Yeah, how come you got me thrown off my ISP?
Do that. Maybe you will have something about that next week on the show. Who knows?
Who knows? But that is something, that is a good point. But like I was going to say, it's a scary world out there, and I think any hacker will tell you that, if you even try something, you can be seriously facing some trouble. You know, if you telnet to the wrong machine and try logging in, just you're not going to do anything. You just go to it and say, oh, look at this. What's this? Connecticut Education Network. Huh. Wonder what that is. And you type root. Uh-oh, I'm in. Well, that ain't supposed to be, but I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be scared because they're going to come after you. But that brings me to my next little item, and that is the Connecticut Education Network.
What is that? Connecticut Education Network.
Well, you see, last night I was kind of curious, and I went through all to this long scan that I made of UConn, University of Connecticut's computers. I tried to go through their whole network, but that was going to take a while, so I got through about a quarter of it. Now, towards the end, I noticed these machines that had Telnet open. So, out of curiosity, I decided to see what they were. I go into them, not into them, but I just connect to them. And I see Connecticut Education Network, and then it gives the name of a town, in this case Storrs, which is where UConn is, and then it says, of course, you know, unauthorized access is strictly prohibited. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the hell is this? So I go online, I do a search for it, and this is what I found. Through the leadership of the Governor's Office and the Connecticut General Assembly, the Department of Information Technology has been charged with developing a new state-of-the-art communications network to interconnect all public K-12, public and private higher education and library locations throughout the state of Connecticut. The Connecticut Education Network will enable new collaborative opportunities among all connected sites and will provide expanded secure network capabilities for individual schools wishing to access each other or the Internet. And it finishes up with, the Connecticut Education Network is a combination of physical and virtual network technologies that will deliver optimum connectivity on a one-step ahead-of-demand basis now and in the future. Planning for the Connecticut Education Network was begun on July 2000, and deployment is well underway. Major efforts to date include procurement activities to establish contract mechanisms for next-generation network infrastructure, development of architectural principles, documenting network engineering policies, prototyping of the core network, and deployment of the first higher education K-12 and library sites. So basically, all this is like a wide area network in the state of Connecticut that's connecting all these schools together. But the interesting thing is, if you do a Google search for Connecticut Education Network, you can find their homepage, and from there it'll actually have like up to the minute live real time data of what's going on in their backbone. So you can actually see, okay, between East Hartford and Storrs, this is the type of activity that they had. This is what was happening at this time of day.
All right, what's the address? I'm going to go there.
Well, I said do a Google search for Connecticut Education Network because I don't have it. It's like, it's doit.ct.something. Just take a look for it.
Oh, there it is.
It should be the second one. It should be their homepage.
doit.state.ct.us.
That's it.
CEN network status?
Yeah.
All righty. What's up, backbone map?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Loading?
It's loading, yeah. So I'll just wait till that thing loads. Okay, let's see here. Alright, what is this show's University of Connecticut sites?
It should show the backbone between East Hartford and Storrs. That's what it had last night. I'm not sure if they updated it.
UConn. yeah, it's still loading.
Oh, still loading. Well, if anybody out there with a faster computer wants to see the same thing, dash that address.
It's don't know. I must have a different page now.
Oh, they well, do a Google for Connecticut Education Network. You'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy, folks. All right. Well, you keep on looking at that. Now, Dash, originally we had planned on something special tonight that you wanted to do, but I had doubts about.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about that now? I mean, I not for tonight, obviously, but...
Want to do it? You don't want to do it right now?
Oh, there's no time, no.
Okay.
No, but, I mean, how do you feel about it now? Because the original idea was, basically, I don't want to give it all away, because we want to save it for another night, but the idea was that I was going to go down to a payphone. I was going to actually drive to a payphone and try something. Now, see, the thing is that I figured, before we do that, let's ask the listeners if they would want for me to do that, if that would be interesting. You know, me...
We're going to do it. It needs to be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to know if that would be interesting. You know, actually, to have me on this phone here, like we did at the all-nighter, and then I'll go to a payphone, and we'll play with it there, and, you know, we could, you know, I could have you call the payphone, and, you know, we can do all sorts of different things.
You know what might be interesting?
What's that?
Is if we both went to payphones.
That might be, yeah.
I don't know, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
It is a possibility.
That's a possibility, and yeah. Actually, that might be pretty cool, yeah. But we'll have to see about that, and if the listeners want to hear that, it'd be a type of phone trick, I suppose.
Yes, it would, phone trick. We haven't done one of those in a while.
We can try to pull in some operators, of course, that's always fun. And, well, you know, let us know, screamer@hackermind.net or dash@hackermind.net. And, yeah, well...
Quicksilver says that'd be pretty cool.
Well, maybe we'll give it a shot, but that's something that we have to do in the beginning of the episode, so...
Yeah, we need time. Can't do it in the last 10 minutes.
Now, yeah, but we would also need you on your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you would call my home phone, and from my home phone I would three-way to my cell phone... And then we would each go our respective ways.
Right, yeah.
Now, the only problem with that is if something happens to the stream, we need a backup. We need somebody to let us know what's going on. So I'm thinking if he would be so kind, if Unreal, you know, he's a member of the crew, if he would be willing to maybe give one of us a call to say, yeah, the stream died.
Yeah.
Because we would never know.
Well, how is he going to give us a call on his cell phone?
Well, I have three-way on mine.
Oh, okay.
And call waiting, so... I could pull him in, I can, you know, do whatever, so...
You just page me or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another possibility. So, at least that way, I can know that if something does go wrong, I can just turn around and haul my ass home.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one idea. Let's move on here. Oh, speaking of ideas, I figured I might as well mention it to fill a little time here. Remember when I told you about... The idea of two people logging into our stream at the same time?
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
What do you think would happen?
There's, probably what I think would happen would be one of us, whoever connects first, whoever tries to connect second wouldn't be able to connect.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, but you gotta admit, that is a kind of cool idea.
Yeah, well, I could download the software and try it.
Yeah, let's give that a try. So, that way... Well, see, folks, what we want to do is, we want to, the way I broadcast is I have a program here that connects to our internet stream live so that I'm able to talk to you and you hear me, you know, more or less. So what I want to try is broadcasting on this stream, and we might tell you when we're doing it, we might not, it's just going to be a test, and then I want Dash to log in through the same program and connect to the same stream so that, theoretically, he too should be able to broadcast. Now... Like he said, it's probably going to say that he can't log in, users already log in, whatever. But if it did work, would that mean the both of us could log into the stream and talk to each other?
I don't know. I mean, there might be...
If we were listening, of course.
And me hearing what you say and you hearing what I say, you know?
Oh, yeah. There would definitely be a lag. But can you imagine how cool that would be to set up a brand new stream and to give everybody the password to it?
Yeah, that.
I mean, it would be chaotic, but if we just tried it once, that could be pretty cool.
That would be chaotic, but yeah, we should try that.
You know, we can have everybody on the stream broadcasting. I mean, everybody would be in delay. It would be utter chaos, but that would be the coolest thing in the world.
Total chaos, but you know, if it works, we should definitely do it.
And then one person logs into the site and changes it over to basic broadcast, and it's no longer live, and they ruin the fun for all. But what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. What are you going to do?
But, of course, that's probably not going to happen, because it'll probably say, you're already logged in, fool.
Yeah, there is a possibility that it won't, you know.
Yep.
But we'll try it. If it goes over, I'll go download the software. How big is it? It's like 20 megs or something?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. It's like a little bit over a meg. Now,
not so bad.
You said you didn't want to mention our little announcement?
Wait, which announcement?
Well, I'm talking about Equal Access and how we have some updated ordering information on the site.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about something else. Why don't you go ahead and mention that?
Okay, so,
I thought you were talking about something else.
All right. Well, I'm talking about Equal Access and Hackers Interrupted, which was also released.
Yeah, that's available, too.
And Unreal is going to be getting a copy of that, so don't worry, Unreal. Yeah, so we have updated ordering information on it. Now, if you already sent in your money, don't worry. I know, Dash, you had some trouble getting one money order cashed, but
yeah.
that problem was solved, and we have sent out the orders for the people that we received the money from. So don't worry, everything will work out, and it's not that big of a deal. But if you haven't ordered yet, go to the site and go to hackermind.net. That is.
Yeah.
And you can get some updated ordering information on the Equal Access page or the music page.
Right, yes.
That we have added to the site.
Exactly.
Okay, now I have one more thing to talk about, but Dash, before we close, is there anything that you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, let me think here for a second. I think there was something I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, there's something I want to mention. It's pretty important because it concerns us.
Oh, okay, what's that?
Popular file sharing utilities contain Trojans.
Ooh, alright, let's hear it.
Popular file sharing software from Grokster and the LimeWire Nutella client contain the W32.DIDER Trojan, Dider Trojan, something like that,
mm-hmm.
The Mantec revealed last week. According to several register readers, register.co.uk, the Kazaa utility also contains the same infection. The Trojan horse here is a spyware application masquerading as a lottery game called Click Till You Win. When installing the Grokster or LimeWire software, and some versions of Kazaa, the user is given an option to enable the Click Till You Win feature. Regardless of whether one accepts or declines, the Trojan is installed. Grokster has offered an explanation of this embarrassing oversight on its website. Some of you may be wondering why this Trojan was in our installer at all, the company speculates wisely. We sometimes bundle advertiser applications with our installer in order to help pay for our costs here at Grokster. We are normally given an installer from the advertiser, which we run during the installation of Grokster. We have no access to the source code of these third-party installers, so we rely on what our advertisers say these programs do. Yeah, since when you need the source code to scan for viruses. To the best of our knowledge, this particular advertiser simply placed a link to a free online lottery on the desktop. We were never informed that it installed or was a Trojan. The company has released a utility which says it will remove the Trojan and promises to have a clean version of its software available in a matter of days. Those who prefer to see their own Trojan removal need only search for a hidden directory under their Windows directory called Explorer. Simply delete the Windows/Explorer directory along with the companion file DLDER.exe in the Windows directory. The Trojan is not destructive, but does phone home to the Click Till You Win website with user data, which presumably is used for marketing purposes, or is perhaps forwarded to RIAA headquarters to assemble a database of copyright infringers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
So
well, they're violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
I have in my Kazaa folder an icon that says Win a Free Vacation.
Let me check mine. I haven't even checked mine.
I have win a free vacation and free cool savings, but
I checked to see if I had that program in my Windows directory.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find it. Yeah. So I don't know. It said in some versions of Kazaa, so I don't know if it's in mine because I couldn't find it.
Well, let me see here.
Check your Windows directory. See, there's a hidden directory called Explorer.
a hidden directory called Explorer.
Yeah.
No, I don't see a directory called Explorer.
Okay, do you have it set where you see hidden files?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well then, I don't know. In our version.
Oh, wait a minute, what's this?
You see it?
I'm not sure if this is supposed to be here or not. I've never...
What does it say?
Well, it's a directory with a magnifying glass, friggin' XP, and it's called Explorer.
Oh, go in there. It should have the program in there.
Okay, yeah, that's so not it.
Oh, okay.
Boy, don't I feel dumb. Okay, yeah, that's not it.
Okay, that's good.
But, you know, I had to check.
Yeah, that's good.
I had to check. All right, so, no, I don't have that, thank goodness, but, if you do...
I don't. Right? I don't think.
No, not you, but I'm saying our listeners at home.
Yeah, our listeners, if you have it,
Ha-ha, no. Okay, now, Dash, we're talking about security vulnerabilities here.
Yeah, we were, yeah. We like to do that sometimes.
But, let me tell you how 2002 could be a much better year than 2001.
All right, lay it on me.
Well, I'm not going to lay it all on you, but here's some of it.
Throw it at me. Hit me with it.
All right, this comes from Alex Salkever of Business Week. Call 2001 the year of living dangerously, you know, such as with the Death Trap program.
Yes, the Death Trap.
Router attacks brought down major Microsoft sites, followed by the Code Red worm over the summer. Then came the Nimda worm / virus in the fall. A sinister-sounding program called AirSnort allowed roaming cyber snoops to hack vulnerable wireless networks using only a Linux laptop and some free software. And Visa USA launched a policy mandating merchants that accept online credit cards to take basic security steps or lose their charging privileges. I would hope they would.
Yes.
Perhaps the biggest shock came on September 11th when terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon while net security wasn't at issue. The episode convinced many security-conscious businesses that they had better lock down their networks against the possibility of cyber terrorism. We've learned a lot today. Today, most cable modem users understand that a firewall is important. And people are beginning to finally grasp that security isn't something that can be bought out of a box. Rather, it's a process requiring a constant state of vigilance. So where do we go from here? And this guy goes into his list of four resolutions for 2002 to make the internet more secure.
You should be good. What are they?
Okay, Gates and Company has to get more serious about security. I won't read the whole thing. It is kind of long, but... yes, Microsoft has made a big effort to shore up security in its software, but come on, guys. The most recent vulnerabilities detected and announced in the new Windows XP operating system and Microsoft's Internet Explorer web browser go beyond the pale. The default configuration in all XP systems leaves computers exposed to the entire Internet. Well, we talked about this before. Malicious hackers could simply load a program into a web page that they want to execute on an unsuspecting web server's computer. So... Microsoft has to get their act together. The next one. More than 90% of the world's PCs use some version of the... Oh, that's the same one. Bastards. Okay, next one is mandatory firewalls for all. Security experts...
Sorry.
Hmm?
You just say mandatory?
Yeah.
If I don't want a firewall, I don't have to have one.
Well, I'm sure you can disable it, but I mean, I'm just saying operating systems have to come with it, according to this. So, well, it says security experts can agree on one thing. Cable modem and digital subscriber line broadband users who aren't using some kind of firewall are increasingly putting not only themselves at risk, but others as well. Having no firewall is akin to leaving your car unlocked and hoping that the thief who steals it doesn't crash into a crowd of people. Well, okay, so you're right. They do want you to use a firewall, so we can get into a whole argument about that. But to finish up... lockdown routers. I won't even read what they say because we've talked about that on this show for the past few months.
Yeah.
You scan any network, you're going to find open routers. I mean, they make great wind gates, man. You can tell that right through them.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Zip It Up, Uncle Sam. On December 7th, the U.S. Interior Department shut down its internet sites after a court-authorized investigator broke into a portion of the network and exposed financial data used to administer $500 million annually in payments and services to 300,000 American Indians.
Board authorized, huh?
Yeah, so, Uncle Sam, you gotta start securing yourself a bit better. Now, last thing I'm gonna do is I'm going to look at my firewall logs. Now, right now, since my last restart, I've had 76 alerts.
Really?
Now, most of these are just regular things that the computer sends out, you know, DNS, stuff like that. Here's a ping. Somebody had to ping me.
Oh, yeah, well.
All right, that's normal.
Any Trojan scans?
That's normal. Let me look. I'm sure I do. Yeah, here, bingo, here. Some bonehead at 24.128.149.209, I'm so glad that we have these for download, trying to find sub-7 on my computer. That's 24.128.149.209.
Hang on, I'll look it up for you.
Well, we are out of time, so...
But I was going to look it up for you.
Dash, people can look that up themselves.
I wanted to look it up, maybe.
Okay, go ahead, and if it's on Rogers Cable Network, I'm going to be really pissed, because that son of a bitch keeps scanning me for that.
Look it up. Okay, it's an at-home user.
It's an at-home user.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no Rogers in there anywhere?
I don't see any Rogers, no.
Okay, good. Cause, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't bring in the man, but I would just deal with it myself.
The CC10115-A.
Okay.
Dot TWSNL.
Okay, Dash, we gotta go. Say goodnight.
Home.com.
Say goodnight, Dash.
It's a. No.
He says goodnight. You want to say it?
I want to say what?
Say goodnight.
Oh, yes. Goodnight, yes.
Okay, he said goodnight, folks, and that's all we have for you this week. I'm planning on hooking up the other computer next week to make this episode a little bit easier so that you don't hear the those noises. But until then, this is Screamer Chaotix 4-Interrupt saying break the system, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.